the Institute of Museum and Library Services, IMLS's National Medal of Service. So I hope to come back on this program with my wonderful colleagues here and talk to you about that sometime in the spring when we win that award.
Great. All right. Well, it's time to go. Thank you, Barb Bratton, Heather Thompson, Marcia Sear, and Brandy Cummings from the Kenosha Public Library. Congratulations on your Wisconsin Library Association 2020 Wisconsin Library of the Year. And this is Education Matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring today, and our topic is going to be a status report and a look forward on the Kenosha County Food Bank Project. And with me today is Amy Greil. Many people know Amy as the Community Development Educator with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension. And she is involved in many wonderful projects throughout the county and has been involved initially with this particular project of the Kenosha County Food Bank, but she has further extended herself and she's quite involved as a volunteer as well. So thank you so much, Amy, for joining us today.
My pleasure, Jane. I'm thrilled to be here.
I wanted to start off with really getting a definition of what the Kenosha County Food Bank is. I think it can also be confused with so many of the wonderful pantries and other services that are provided. So to start with, can you help define what the food bank is in comparison to some of these other entities?
Great, yes. So this is really important distinction. So a food bank, in our sense of the word, is not the same as a pantry in that it actually acts sort of as a layer, say, above the pantries, but between food processors and large-scale food distributors. So we're actually creating almost a layer, so to speak, that would serve a network of pantries. And the food bank is essentially a bridge, serving pantries and other emergency food distribution programs, but receiving the product and sort of acting as that bridge for the food processors and distributors. Hoping that that is clear. Does that make sense?
It does. So what you're really saying is you're not competing with the food pantries. You're not on the same level as a food pantry. You're serving the food pantries in a way.
Indeed. And it's like that notion that the food pantries are really, really good at that client interaction. They see the very first sort of like access of clients that are seeking emergency food relief. So the pantries have that personal touch. The food bank would never necessarily be touching the client at that same way. Our customer as a food bank is the organizations of pantries and emergency food programs.
And you had mentioned that you're sort of the middleman, so to speak, between the large food distributors and the pantries. Let's talk about that other end of the equation. Where do you get the food from and who's paying for it or donating it? If you can explain in detail what that is all about.
Right. So very good. Very good. Because this is kind of the uncharted territory in Kenosha that we have sort of, infrastructure that is directly going to be nurturing and establishing relationships with more of our corporate entities. Right now, there's sort of a sporadic relationships and, you know, contacts between some of the pantries and the distributors and the processors. But many times there's such a mismatch that they have pallets worth of food and the pantries don't have the storage capacity to, you know, accommodate that. So there's like these mismatches. So the food bank would, you know, really be looking at nurturing those relationships and receiving large scale donations. So if you're familiar with just the composition of the business community, so to speak, in Kenosha County, we have a breadth of food processors and three very large national distributors that are all sort of, you know, looking for partners for their excess products. So that's really the niche that the food bank is looking for, capturing more of that excess before it spoils or before it is transported out of the county. You know, the worst part of like kind of our current system is that so much of the food that comes through Kenosha County never reaches Kenosha County constituents. It's just not accessible in the quantities. So it goes into larger markets in Milwaukee. And then many of our pantries turn around and have to purchase it back from organizations, you know, that are doing sort of this work regionally and nationally. So it's a very big system, and I'm trying my best to describe these log jams and disconnects, because food and moving food has become so sophisticated that we need a food bank really to match, to some extent, just the speed and, you know, size of available food and how it's moved today. Is this making sense?
What I'm hearing you say, Amy, is that there's some here in Kenosha, we've got some missing, I'll say, components of being able to completely manage food. For instance, a local pantry probably doesn't have the cold storage for perishable foods. Therefore, those perishable foods don't get the opportunity to stay here in Kenosha. Am I understanding that
correctly? Exactly. That's one of the dynamics, that we just don't have the storage. I mean, you talk about a few coolers that may or may not all be functioning optimally at any given time. It's just not the scope of storage that may be required to capture some of these larger scale donations. Exactly.
So as the Food Bank of Kenosha County, or I know you're getting started, you've established a 501c3, we can talk about all of that, but what are your number one priorities to put into place in order to solve some of these problems?
Yeah, and I look at it as just opportunities to optimize, if you will, the advantages we have in Kenosha County. So things work today. We have 7 pantry programs indeed that we're working with on a weekly, daily basis, communicating with, that are doing so much work and so much good and, you know, excellent work. Really, the pantries are doing, you know, the lion's share of its work. What we're trying to do, and what our biggest priority and our biggest, opportunity is to help these organizations manage the logistical side of the product.
Define that. What are some of those logistical aspects?
So it would be, you know, going to, whether it's, you know, the actual distribution sites or the food processing locations, recovering donated product, and or, you know, having a warehouse so that these companies could actually bring it to us. So recovering or procuring this product, then storing the product safely and in sort of the macro, and then creating a very, I guess, appropriate schedule to meet the demands that the pantries have, you know, as far as, you know, service days and times, you know, how do we, you know, create these sort of schedules so that it's just in time, pantries have what they need in the quantities that they can accommodate, fresh as possible, and also nutritious. So, and really, you know, another added benefit of the food bank is not only that we can capture all these large scale donations for very low cost, we can also create a sort of standard of excellence across pantries so that no matter what pantry a person in Kenosha County accesses, they're going to get roughly the same amount of product, the same quality of service, that we're kind of establishing a common bar, if you will, so that everyone is getting access to the best quality products and there's not sort of this feast and famine between different pantry programs.
And I think I need a couple of examples of that, and they don't have to be real examples, but just something to better illustrate what you mean. If we're aiming for a standard of excellence, so across the board, pantry or the consumer of a pantry gets good quality, good mix of nutrition, what occasionally is happening that's bad?
Right. Well, and I will say absolutely the pantries are doing, like I say, tremendous, tremendous work. I could not imagine the challenges that they have and how well they navigate the challenges of just managing so much. However, you know, certain pantries will have an excess to the extent of being able to supply, say, a trunk load worth of product, just pushing product out because they have so much, almost to the extent in a quantity that's not even realistic for a family to necessarily be able to use in the short term. And then you've got sort of the other side of the spectrum where you're getting a few, you know, cans of peanut butter and tuna and sent away with a smile, you know? So it's like, how do you level that quantity at the one hand so that everyone's getting, you know, so you're not saying, oh, well, I know that this pantry is going to give me a trunk load and this other one's just going to give me, you know, a small box or bag. So I'm going to definitely try to get into this other pantry. It's like stabilizing sort of the bar for quantity. That's the first thing. But we can also now look at quality services in the sense that every pantry that participates in a program with the food bank would be required to have a non-discrimination policy, that they have confidentiality policies so that they are managing the interactions with clients to the greatest extent that they can, you know, treating people with the greatest dignity and perhaps, you know, not requiring that they, that these clients volunteer or that they, you know, would pay for something or have to do it, you know, kind of like a tit for tat. I mean, this stuff happens. I'm not sure necessarily to what extent in Kenosha County, but we want to ensure that these clients that enter the door are given the absolute like gold standard in, you know, confidentiality, best practices, non-discrimination, also access to referrals. Because we know that many people that come to food pantries, this is just a symptom of something much deeper. They may have, you know, issues around housing. They may have issues around, you know, healthcare costs. How do we get them referrals to other resources so that they're not necessarily needing to come to the pantry like chronically, if you will? So that's what I'm talking about as far as like establishing a bit of a bar for product and service.
From the service standpoint, as you mentioned, it's really the pantries that will be providing the service, and you'll be providing the wherewithal to get the product and store the product. But what you just said now sounds like you're also going to be establishing some quality standards or customer service standards. How is that being developed in partnership with your partners?
Absolutely. Well, and in fact, the 7 pantry and food programs that we currently have memorandum of understandings with already have signed in to what's called It's a federal commodity program referred to as TFAP, the Emergency Food Assistance Program. That's a federal program that requires anyone, any program that receives these commodity products, they have to subscribe to a standard of non-discrimination and confidentiality. And, you know, some of these best practices are already baked into that TFAP program. So we're not necessarily imposing, so to speak, anything new. But for, you know, this referrals and sort of this best practice, this is the value add that maybe TFAP isn't even, you know, aware of or really requiring or doesn't have the capacity to enforce. These are the value adds that the food bank can really bring to the pantries on the service side so that they have consistent information around housing resources, you know, health care, you know, medication, prescriptions, whatever you say. I mean, we could do such a better job as far as connecting people to the breadth of resources that are provided throughout the county that are non-food related.
So you mentioned anybody who's been involved in this program already have a lot of these standards and recognize that they have to sign on to that. Most of us, when we think of the food banks, we think of a lot of the individual contributions or perhaps small grocery store contributions, when there's the post office is collecting food. We think about that. We don't necessarily, as a common resident, think about these large wholesale contributions. Are there all your seven partners, have they always received some of these large wholesale contributions, or have one or two of them been existing mostly on local contributions?
Yeah, it really depends. What I've learned, Jane, the biggest thing that I guess I wasn't really aware of is that every program, every organization, every pantry has their own like relationships, their very own dynamics. They may be, you know, faith-based, church-based pantries. They may be small. They may be very large. They may be a volunteer run. They may be paid staff. I mean, every pantry program is so distinct in its, you know, sort of operations and how and why, you know, it exists. So that's really important right there. So a lot of the, you know, I would say every pantry that you're going to find in Kenosha County will accept, you know, those food drives and, you know, the smaller scale food donations, a Boy Scout, you know, food drive, or people securing things through their church, any of the pantries. And that is really the most appropriate place for those smaller scale donations. The food bank, again, is really dealing in pallets. It's dealing in semi trucks filled with, you know, product. It's a whole different scale. So it's not to say that you can't stay connected to your pantry. We absolutely want you to. If you are supporting a pantry, please continue to do so. Please look at pantries, especially at this time of pandemic, as those places to, you know, make your donations and support, whether financially or through food donations. The pantries are absolutely the most like appropriate place for that. Again, the food bank is going to be at a more systemic level and working in close partnership with, you know, the corporate entities around the county. So it's not so much the repository for those smaller donations, if that makes sense.
It does. I know that you have been working very closely with the Racine Food Bank, and some of our listeners may be quite familiar with that. Can you talk about that relationship and how you've been perhaps mirroring what they do or branching out from what they do?
Absolutely. I am thrilled to talk about that relationship because there is no question in my mind we would not be as far as we are without their, I mean, leadership's mentorship, involvement, I mean, technical support, there is no way I can fully express our appreciation and gratitude for the support of the Racine County Food Bank, their executive director, Dan Tywakowski, and certainly their board of directors has, you know, championed the notion of a Kenosha County Food Bank, because there's synergies and economies of scale in that way we can work together. And many of our companies want to see, you know, this collaboration and this sense of alignment across the region. So it's a win-win in every case. I mean, to see that we can work closely. I mean, Dan from the Racine County Food Bank is on our board of directors, and, you know, he's been that real voice of experience that we have been looking for, because of course none of us have ever done this. We've never had a food bank in Kenosha County. So having that like expertise on the board, it has been invaluable.
That's super. And it's wonderful to see when the communities can work together. And I would assume that would even extend to surplus food if one county gets more than, if it's even imaginable, more than what they can really distribute to their pantries. I would imagine you can, oh my gosh, cross borders and share food to the community.
Well, and if we can even broaden our scope beyond just Racine and Kenosha, we are in such a growing region between Chicago and Milwaukee, obviously, and the intensity of food processing and food distribution in the region. I mean, it's just like the sky is the limit as far as capturing more of this product. So how do we align with, say, Northern Illinois Food Bank and, you know, out in Walworth County, certainly into Milwaukee, where we work closely with Milwaukee's Hunger Task Force. There is like a coalition of food banks that can now really communicate. If they have product in Milwaukee that they can't use, they're contacting Racine and Kenosha. Kenosha, the same thing. We're not going to be able to take everything that we get. So now we contact Dan and Racine, or, you know, Northern Illinois, whatever it may be. It's like now we have a network that is free and local, because not all food banks really subscribe to the same, I guess, values and things. But nonetheless, like, we are creating a network of food banks, and everyone's going to win in the region if we work together.
We're talking with Amy Grile about the Kenosha County Food Bank, and the process is well underway, and it's probably a very good time to talk a bit more about the status of where you're at. You've done a wonderful job of explaining and differentiating the food bank from pantries and how you might work together, how you have a memorandum of understanding with the food banks. But where are you with all of this? I'd heard rumors that a truck has arrived.
Indeed. Yeah, I can definitely get into that. But yeah, that's just one of many things we're really proud of in 2020. So and just back to your point again, Jane, like, we got to make the distinction between food pantries and food banks. We have memorandum of understanding with 7 food pantries and meal programs. There's only one bank, and we're it in Kenosha County, but there's multiple pantries, and we certainly hope to grow that membership over time. So yeah, the memorandum of understandings were huge, because that is the network that we're working for and on behalf of. But other than that, we do have the 501c3 nonprofit. So even though, you know, these conversations have begun like 6, 8, 10 years ago about a food bank, there was not an independent organization until 2020. So we called our first board meeting in March 17th to be to be specific,
which is
right. And that was like a really crucial time, because of course the pandemic and its impacts were like first hitting the fan. And I said, you know, to this recruited board, I said, is this the time? Like, everyone is overwhelmed. There's so much disorientation. is this the time? And absolutely everyone agreed and rose to the occasion to say, if not now, when are we going to get into sort of the ring around food insecurity? Because we will see increases in those rates, and we have seen increases in those rates. So fortunately, we had the confidence and I guess the vision to just push forward despite, you know, the unprecedented nature of the pandemic. But that has been a real, you know, big thing after so many years of conversations, but nobody really stepping forward and saying, nope, we're going to put our stake in the sand and we are going to create an organization to do this. So that was in March. Over the last, say, 9 months, we've secured over $125,000 in grants and private donations. That figure, $125,000, includes that thing you mentioned, that refrigerated box truck. 24-foot mobile refrigerator, we call it like the food bank on wheels, that we were gifted or granted through a state of Wisconsin program that was responding to exactly what we're talking about, food insecurity rises throughout the state. So through the state of Wisconsin and this Hunger Relief Federation, we were awarded these funds to get the truck. So that was huge. But then, of course, also we've seen a lot of people come forward, companies and public sector supporters that said, yes, we want to get you moving. And of course, it's been a struggle even just finding that lane, because frankly, we're not here to compete with the pantries. That is our, you know, modus operandum is we're not here to compete. We're here to augment and bridge, resources into the pantries. So it's not as though we want to go out and find donors that are already committed to pantries. We got to find some new connections, new resources. And we have been able to do that. But the reality is, you know, it's a tender topic. And certainly that's why I will stand by my commitment to the pantries. If people want to donate today, look at your local food pantries as those places, because the food bank, we are an add-on new to the scene, will come of age as resources come available. But right now, every day, there are needs that, you know, need to be met at our local pantries. So anywho, that was the grants and some of the donations. What else have we done? We staged 5 large public food distribution events. You might have seen these. The Kenosha News did a great job covering them. And this was the rare opportunity that actually the food bank went direct to the client. So this is like an aberration, but because the opportunity was there and there was so much product coming through the federal government, buying up food that otherwise was being wasted, you know, pigs being euthanized, we hear about all the milk being just dumped. We grabbed some of those commodity programs and then went direct to the clients. And we did 5 large events in close partnership with Carthage College, with Kenosha County, and also with a private sector colleague and company called Prime Industrial Contractors. So those were very, I would say, complex events that created a lot of new partnerships and also raised awareness throughout the county that we are here. And by the way, you know, the food bank is, you know, a player, and we're not going to go away. Those were also in close partnership with a very important food distributor that's already extremely invested in Kenosha, and that is Gordon Food Service. So I want to like really plug Gordon Food Service for what they've been doing for the food bank. They're represented on our board, but they also were a huge player in that whole commodity program that allowed us to stage those events.
And that was also in conjunction with Farmers to Families program.
That's it. That's exactly it. So that commodity program that I'm referencing was called Farmers to Family. Farmers to Families. It's still happening, but in 2021, a lot of those programs are going to be, a lot of those funds are going to go away. So you still see some programs doing farmers to families, but the food bank really stopped at 5 events due to the fact that it is a lot of coordination for a volunteer board. And we know a lot of programs are already doing these events, and we just wanted to kind of allow the other programs to kind of do, you know, do their thing and stay out of this lane too much that's going direct to client, because again, food banks serve programs, not people, is individuals, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes very good sense. And I can see where those initial events, one, accomplished something for the community. It did bring food into the community. That's a wonderful thing. And it also brought some attention to your new program. But I can see where you'd want to get out also, so there is no remaining confusion about that point about serving programs and not individuals. Let's go back a little bit to some of the status things and what you're trying to do in the next year. You're calling your truck a mobile food distributor, but are you also looking for a permanent storage facility, a warehouse type of thing with an office, or what's happening on that front?
Yes, Jane, you are so correct to assume that this is not the end point. The truck is not the end game. We need to find a warehousing space, and we need to locate operations somewhere in Kenosha County. So we are investigating prospective warehousing spaces, meeting with various property owners, whether we lease or whether we purchase. Of course, our funds are quite limited right now. So it's like the chicken or the egg, like, do we find the space and raise the money, or do we raise the money and then find the space? I mean, it's really kind of one and the same. We've got to really, you know, hone our ability to find affordable warehousing space before we can truly deliver on our mission. Until we have the storage capacity and distribution capacity, it's very limiting. I mean, as far as how much value we can actually return to the pantries. We're doing all we can, but it's on a shoestring. I mean, and the truck, obviously a huge win for us, because now we have a piece of equipment that can serve this network. But even so, without the warehouse, we're still pretty limited.
Understandable. And that gets right back to that funding. Speaking of chicken and egg, I know we kind of go in circles where, yes, most people, individuals, should consider continuing, of course, their donation to their local food pantry that they may have been supporting in the past, or want to do it now because of the serious nature of good old 2020 and what it's all brought to us. But who are you looking more for, the larger corporate donations that would help you get to where you can afford a facility and to support the operations of the food bank?
Yep. Really good question. Because of course, as the board member I am, I stay up at night thinking about how are we going to actually bring this to fruition? Because every county, every community, of course, has to find sort of that recipe for their particular organization, right? Like in some communities, United Way is the major, massive allocation that supports the food bank. In other communities, it's corporate, you know, relationships. In other communities, it's the public sector, whether it's the county or the city or the village or whatever it may be. So we need to find that mix. You know, others can be highly philanthropic dollars, or, you know, whatever. There could even be a model where pantries actually pay for the support of the food bank. We are not pursuing that path. Our services would be free and local. The services and the products from the food bank would not come at any charge to the pantry programs. However, so your question, how do we anticipate like funding this? We're looking for that sweet spot. So we ideally want to approach and really integrate our organization with companies that see their own interest in the food bank. They have excess, particularly perishable foods that they don't want to see gone to waste. They don't want to transport, you know, very far. They want to keep local because they know much of their workforce is living locally. What are our food companies out there, whether they're processors or distributors, or, you know, they could even be farmers or whatever, like, what are those companies or organizations that have an interest? They've got the food. Now they want to find like that win-win of supporting an organization like a food bank. So that's idea number one, is those food related businesses. Idea number two would still be corporate, but we're really looking to tapping into headquartered companies that understand that the very, you know, the linkage in a community without proper nutrition, without access to healthy food and access to affordable food. I mean, this community cannot, you know, cannot see success without, you know, that safety net. So headquartered companies that are here would be another really important lane that say, yes, we want to put our brand on this. We want to put our stake in the ground, and we're going to say food security is a priority for us, and we're going to put our, you know, money where our mouth is. Finally, we got to look at, you know, public and philanthropic opportunities. So like, we got the truck through the state of Wisconsin. There will be other grants coming through, whether state or federal. We certainly want to look broader than just Kenosha County. I mean, there's a lot of dollars out there. How do we get our ducks in a row so we can compete for those? And then even locally, how do we get our public sector and philanthropic partners engaged in this idea? Fortunately, Kenosha County Executive Jim Cruiser has been a huge supporter and has helped us get to this point. We would likely not have received that grant through the state of Wisconsin without the support of the county executive, you know, kind of really encouraging me and all of our board to just keep going. So those are the three lanes that I see as kind of, we got to tap into all three. We got to have a strategy to engage all three. How we do it and how successful we're going to do it, time will tell. But I say the seeds have been planted. We have some good relationships. Now we just got to really, really nurture those.
And I would imagine one way of getting to that point is really to be able to say, this is what we're doing with the money, and this is how much money we need on an annual basis, either for operational or for capital expenses, such as a facility. Is your board, which has only been operating for what, 8-9 months, as you mentioned, are they to the point where they have a firm budget going forward to say optimally, this is what we'd like our budget to be?
Yeah, good question. We do. We have, because we've obviously been working with Racine County Food Bank and also Sheboygan County Food Bank. They have been really, really great partners in sharing their financials, sharing everything about their expenses. We can build out a budget with relative, I don't know, certainty to say for $300,000 a year, we can operate a food bank. We can have 1.5 FTE. We can operate the, you know, all the utilities, ensure the space, get the equipment, you know, really $300,000 all in, we can do this. And I really think, I mean, that's a bargain. I mean, sure, it sounds like a lot to me at this time in a nonprofit, like how are we gonna raise that money? However, you look at budgets of, you know, the multinational corporations that are headquartered in Kenosha County. I mean, $300,000 is a pittance for the amount of impact we can have in the lives of people that are most vulnerable. I mean, for $300,000, this is achievable. So what we would dream of, and, you know, I hate if it's premature to say, but I'm just going to go there. What I would dream of after the pandemic sorts of, you know, starts to fade and we can recover economically as a community, we're going to go out with the capital campaign to raise $1 million and fund our operations for 3 years ensure that we can hire a really qualified executive director tomorrow. We don't have to do it next year, but we are going to have to think long term and really buy in and get everyone that we can to buy into this idea, this belief that we have capacity in Kenosha County to do this optimally. Let's get our house in order and make it happen.
That does sound awesome. And as you mentioned, I think that that also adds to the credibility in that you do have the budget, you can demonstrate what it can achieve. And knowing bottom line companies, that's something they're going to be looking for. So you sound like you're well on the way. We have just a few minutes left, about 3 minutes left. And I wanted to go to something at a little bit higher, broader level. And you've used the term food security. And what we're talking about here is really one key aspect of a very large issue of food security. And I have to admit, it's not a term that I have heard used a lot, but it makes perfect sense. Can you discuss what that term means and what's all included in it?
Yep. So this is, you know, to what extent it matters to your average community member, maybe it doesn't, but for me, in my role as an educator in, you know, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I need to know what these distinctions are, what these definitions are, and what is the difference between, say, food security, and hunger, because they're not necessarily synonymous. So hunger, according to, you know, Feeding America and many of these national sort of entities that really, really kind of are treading into some of the most sophisticated, you know, networks of food distribution, they will talk hunger as a personal physical sensation of discomfort. Okay, so that really like individualized experience of not having enough to eat, right? That's hunger. Whereas food insecurity is really lacking that available financial resource to, you know, provide for yourself and your household. So food security or food insecurity is really looking at sort of that more complex systemic environment that creates conditions where people can't get what they need. So it's an important, but perhaps, you know, not necessarily like critical understanding or distinction for your average person. But for the food bank, we really need to get into the weeds about these distinctions and definitions, because it helps us clarify what exactly is our lane. So that's a few thoughts on that. I would encourage people that want to get into more of the nuance of what is happening on the ground, or even more at a like a statewide level around food security. There's a website called Wisconsin Food Security Project that's put together by University of Wisconsin-Madison professors and just academics really looking at why does food insecurity exist? To what extent does it exist? And what are those structures that exist in communities that sort of perpetuate food insecurity? So it's much broader than what a food bank can do. I mean, we can only tackle sort of like the, you know, the symptoms, I would even call, or, you know, it's just like there's structures that are kind of promoting and propagating these conditions. We're just kind of, you know, solving the day-to-day effects of that, but how can we look at, you know, the broader, I guess, forces at play that are creating conditions like we're talking about? So,
well, Amy, you have done just a wonderful job of explaining to us today really where the food bank project is and also about kind of differentiating it between all the other, what we would consider the food providers, the food pantries, and the meal program. So I thank you for joining us today. We've been talking with Amy Grile, who is a community development educator with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension. And I'm Jane Herring. Thank you for joining us today.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.